This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. The city of Milwaukee will provide an update today on its efforts to crack down on illegal dumping. In Spring, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson announced the city would begin a pilot program deploying hidden cameras to catch offenders in the act. The Department of Neighborhood Services says two people have now been fined $25,000 for illegal dumping. The Common Council voted unanimously to approve a flat $5,000 fine in April. A federal judge's report deals a setback to the Milwaukee judge facing federal obstruction charges. U.S. Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph is recommending against granting a motion to dismiss Judge Hannah Dugan's case. She writes that absolute immunity does not apply to criminal cases against judges, and neither does a Supreme Court ruling that President Donald Trump has immunity. Judge Dugan is accused of helping an undocumented migrant evade ICE agents at the Milwaukee courthouse. The judge for her trial, U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman, will make a final decision on the motion to dismiss. A scheduling conference is set for Wednesday. Another Walgreens location is set to close, this time in southeast Wisconsin. The location near 76 and Mill in Milwaukee will close its pharmacy July 1st and the rest of the store July 28th. A Racine location near Memorial and State will close August 5th. The pharmacy inside the downtown Milwaukee location at the Avenue is also closing, but the front end of the store is staying open. Walgreens plans to close 1,200 stores across the country over the next 3 years. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. TV update. Rescue operations are still going on in Texas. Application was denied in 2017 for Kerr County to get an early warning system. So I don't know who denied it. Did the federal government deny it or FEMA or who else? But death toll reaches 111 people. 161 people are still missing from the county. So now the missing, oops, my bad, not 161. It just went up to 173 people reported missing. So that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. We're praying for them folks because, I don't know if I could live like that. Every time I think about going somewhere south or every time I think about doing something that that has to do with being down south, you know what I'm saying? I stay right where I'm at. I'll just take the four seasons and we got one of the shortest summers you'll ever see and I'll deal with the snow, but that don't mean I'm not going to visit. Don't get it twisted. That don't mean I'm not going to visit. That just means I'm not going to be a, you know, permanent resident. I mean, you know, because things are way more expensive in places like that. So I'm just saying. But I want to grow up and be like a university, right? Especially in Wisconsin. Because all they ask for is more money, more money, more money.
Number 5.
Well, well, well. The universities of Wisconsin leaders are proposing a tuition increase. Shocking. Let's wait till the market is challenging and you wait until after the Trump administration passes their big, beautiful bill and how the loans are being restructured, and now you think you're going to get more money. Universities of Wisconsin system is seeking approval to raise resident undergraduate tuition by up to 5% for 2025-2026. That means that whatever you thought you was going to pay right now, like in 2025, yeah, it's going up. President Jay Rothman announced the plan would increase base tuition by 4% on all campuses with an optional 1% additionally. Have you ever met anybody at a university that's going to tell you, hey, dude, we can take a 5% raise, we can only take 4? No. Because they know you're not paying for it anyway. A school loan is. Or your parents are. Rothman said today in a press release that the plan aims to balance affordability after years of frozen rates and reduce state support. Does that make sense? Hey, Glenn, I'm going to lower your salary by 5% to make it more affordable for you to be able to buy more food. They just said
that does not make sense.
The plan aims to balance affordability after years of frozen rates and reduce state support. Resident undergraduate tuition rate went up 7.7% over the last decade, which officials said remains lower than the neighboring states. I'm not following this. Total cost of attendance, including fees and housing, is expected to rise by 3.8%. Okay, so let me get this right. Tuition is going to go up 5. Room and board is going to go up 3. That sounds like a 9% raise. Maybe it's me. Maybe I can't count. So pick a school in Wisconsin, a UW school, anybody. Pick a school. UW La Crosse, $10,360. UW Parkside, $8,658. UW Whitewater, $8,819. UW Milwaukee, you ready? $10,916. UW Madison, $12,116. Why? Why? Why is that? Sometimes a school can get so big that it's just too much. That you're offering too many things. In other words, and I know this will come out wrong. I know it up front. You know, like they tell somebody, this might be offensive, but I don't mean to be offensive. Well, it's probably going to be offensive. If you have an issue going or getting in or staying in school, school may not be for you. That's all. It literally may not be for you. There are other alternatives you can use. It just may not be for you. I would ask the Board of Regents to say no. You have to cut just like businesses need to cut, just like my home budget needs to cut when I got more month left over at the end of the money. You got to cut. That's it. Some of those majors, they got to go away. That's how life goes. You're not guaranteed a job. Like, I don't know what is wrong with people that they think they're guaranteed a job, especially in Wisconsin. It's a right-to-work state. Hey, Glenn, yeah, they told Junebug can't work anymore. Well, he wants to complain. Well, he can't complain. Why? Because it's a right-to-work state. We just say, we don't want you to work here anymore. And you're gone. Like, that's it. You can have a contract or all that. Oh, that's great. Bye. And you're gone. It's not a big deal. And I think we need to embrace that so that we understand that we do the best that we can. But paying for college, that's not it. Paying for college is too much. I don't care what anybody says. If I'm going to waste my money and pay more in taxes, pay for school. Make two-year colleges free. Make it free. The problem with regular universities is regular universities run on school choice, but we don't want public schools, you know, K-12 to run on school choice. Like, you can get school choice. You can get a loan, you can get a grant, and you can pay for a public or private institution, religious, parochial, whatever, and use that same money. But you can't do it in K-12. Why? Because K-12 has unions. And those public school unions are powerful enough to stop you from using money that's yours for that. So I get school choice in college, but I don't get school choice in K-12. So my tax money can come to me when I'm an adult, but it can't come to me when I'm a child. Yeah. I say, in the immortal words of my mother, Bupkis.
Number four.
Well, here's another chance for government knowing what's good for the people, and it comes by way of Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Alderman Bob Bauman pushed to change regulations to allow parking on both sides of the street overnight, and his district has hit roadblocks. Mayor Cavalier Johnson vetoed the ordinance on last week. Cheryl and Rachel, who've been parking in the busy neighborhood for decades, have noticed how hard it is to find a parking spot. If you've ever been downtown, it's hard to find a parking spot. Well, the pair also said the street has become a hazard while drivers look to park cars. So you got your flashes on, you're double parked, waiting for somebody to pull out, waiting for somebody to pull in, coming down the street. Bauman said his residents have complained to him about the lack of street parking and the frequency with which they receive parking tickets. And you know that's really why, right? They want to generate revenue for the city. They give two flips about the people that live downtown. You basically couldn't find a space within blocks of your home if you got home after 10 o'clock, Bauman said. Cheryl said, once you come home from work, you want to stay. You don't want to go out because you'll lose that parking spot. So currently from 2 to 6 a.m., they have night parking, which means you must park on the side of the street that matches the day. So if it's an even day, today is July 8th, so you would park on the even side of the street tonight. Kind of simple. Well, last month, Bauman and the full Common Council voted to change the rule to allow parking on both sides of the street 24/7. Portions of the 4th Aldermanic District were already overnight parking exempt, such as downtown and the east side. However, Johnson vetoed the change last Thursday and requested the Department of Public Works to conduct a street study. Isn't that how people do? I want to slow you down so much that I just totally jack your idea. So we're going to do what street study do you need for parking? How dumb is that? Bauman agreed to limit the parking regulation change to the Concordia neighborhood between Wisconsin Avenue and Wells, 27th to 35th. He said he does not agree with conducting a street study. That's a dumb move. A spokesperson for the mayor told WISN 12 yesterday that the mayor asked the alderman to allow the city ordinance to follow the city ordinance on this matter. I would tell him to go puff smoke. And what needs to happen is the Common Council. Can the Common Council override a mayoral veto? Because if they can, they should just override it. Tell them to go pound sand. Think about it. Who are the majority of people that lives there? Okay. Ridiculous. Department of Public Works did not provide an exact cost for the study, but indicated that their employees would be the ones to conduct it. Bauman is asking the council to override the mayor's veto with a vote expected next week. I hope they do. Let me call my alderman. Tell him right now. Hey, dude, override it. This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Right when you think things are going great, I tell you. Oh, and don't worry about that. If you think that was a trash ordinance, watch this.
Number three.
So from JS Online. So you know it's summertime, right? You feel it. You got birds singing, ice cream trucks, all that stuff. People even cut their lawns. While the noises may not impact your daily life, your neighbors deciding to start their yard work could be frustrating, and the city actually has some rules against it. Or for it. You can't mow too early or too late. So here's the deal. You can't use a lawnmower or any type of noisy equipment before 8 o'clock in the morning, with the exception of snow blowers, garage collection, I'm sorry, garbage collection and utility work. How late? You can't mow a lawn or use any other noisy equipment after 9 o'clock p.m. That's according to the ordinance, 80-67-4. What do you get? It's a Class C penalty. You get a ticket somewhere between $50 and $500 each day the violation is classified as a separate offense. So if you're gonna do it all in one day. So if you do it in the morning and do it in the evening, you can't get two tickets. You got to get one because that's what this says. It says those who violate the ordinance subject to Class E penalties. Penalties that fall under this class are between $50 and $500. But each day of violation is classified as a separate offense. Each day, not each offense. Each day of an offense. So if you do it once in a 24-hour day, then you only get one ticket. So cut your lawn twice. Ooh, I mean, I get it. 9 o'clock there. 8 o'clock in the morning, that's dumb. So I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. I got to wait till nighttime to cut my lawn. It might be cooler during the day, but too bad. Oh, well. At least we won't have any more stinky feet at the airport.
Number two.
This from CNN Travel. TSA will no longer require Glenn to take off his shoes at air security checkpoints. Thank God. They won't make Dr. Ken do it either. But I never did because I had TSA pre. You got TSA pre?
I did in high school, and then I never renewed it.
Oh, okay. So I guess you were taking your shoes off. Not anymore. After nearly two decades, passengers going through the airport security in the U.S. would no longer have to take off their shoes. Now, it reminds me of the guy that was on the flight that had the explosives in his shoes, and they didn't check his shoes. TSA will be eliminating the security requirement effective immediately, said Kristi Noem. I think that's a dumb move. That's just me. I think it's a dumb move. Secretary of Homeland Security. TSA will no longer require travelers to remove their shoes when they go through their security checkpoints. We want to improve this travel experience, but while maintaining safety standards and making sure that we are keeping people safe. So how do you do that? The key to our approach is layered security. Passengers will still pass through multiple layers of screening. They'll also go through identity verification. Right. So identity verification, because you know who I am, is going to stop me from blowing something up. I don't think so. Other changes are also being considered if they can be implemented safely. Remember Richard Reed? That's the guy I'm talking about. December 20, 2001, the shoe bomber. Tried to use matches to ignite explosives hidden in his shoe on a flight from Paris to Miami. Requirement for passengers to take their shoes off at TSA checkpoints came nearly 5 years later due to intelligence pointing to a continuing threat. Now, this is the same government that when a guy tried to use explosives that were in his shoe and had matches, it took 5 years. Does that sound kind of dumb to you? In August of 2006, they actually foiled a terrorist plot to detonate liquid explosives aboard a transatlantic flight. Then they introduced its 3-1-1 rule for carrying on luggage in response. So now they think Real ID is going to take care of all that. So what we're saying is that I know that you blew it up, but now that I know who you are, it's okay. Does that even make any sense? I think what's happening is we have people in the government right now that are conservative, that are Republicans, that think because they don't like it or because someone else that was liberal made the rule, then they can just get rid of it. Ah, we'll just get rid of it. Yeah, it was a dumb rule. Well, it wasn't. But yet, because they don't like the person that made the rule, we'll just get rid of it. I think I call that before cutting off your nose to spite your face. But I guess what? Guess what? In all these issues and all these problems, there's actually still hope. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do one thing. All right. What's my hat say?
I don't have my glasses. I can't see it.
Are you kidding me? I went through all that trouble to set it up, and you can't even read. My hat says black and bougie. If y'all could see Glenn's face right now, his face is priceless. It's priceless. Is that not true, though?
It's a cute hat.
That's not what I... Did you call my cat? Cute? Oh, my God. But is it true?
Yes.
Okay. I had to wear my hat so I could talk about my next story.
Number one.
From thegrio.com, HBO's American historical drama series called The Gilded Age is spotlighting a new demographic in its storytelling black elitism. Season three of the hit drama introduces fans to new characters, new storylines, and a piece of history that's often what? Overlooked in the conversation. We think black folks was just poor all the time. We think black folks didn't accumulate wealth. Well, we just got more and more interested in the history of the black bourgeoisie community. Or should I say the black bourgeois community? At the end of the 19th century, the show's creator, Julian Fellowes, told Entertainment Weekly. People are not really taught it. They're taught one version of that society and the black the bourgeois community has been left out of it largely. The more we learned, the more we wanted to put in the show. So The Gilded Age is already featuring black stars like Danae Benton as Peggy Scott, Audra McDonald as Dorothy Scott. Audra McDonald's in it. Oh, I know I'm watching it now. Will now include Broadway star Jordan Donica as Dr. William Kirkland, Benton's new love interest, and his parents, played by Felicia Rashad and Brian Stokes Mitchell. Donica said, I've always loved doing period pieces to learn about what people like us were doing in different times and spaces, to learn about the free Africans who were never slaves. It's just something we learn. It's just not something we learn in school. To learn about that, to portray that, to dive into that history and to live in that world has been a blessing. So for her character, who comes from a middle-class black Brooklyn family, Brenton studied the history of Brooklyn with historian and consultant Dr. Erica Dunbar, who's very cool, by the way, which she says left her wanting to explore more. And so I'm going to check it out. The Gilded Age. It's on HBO. I guess technically it's Max, but check it out. And so I think what happens is we miss so much in black history. People today seem to not like middle class and upper middle class people, period. But there were a significant number of black people that actually were middle class and owned significant wealth, not just the Madam C.J. Walker, not just certain people, but I mean people like the father of one of the founders of Alpha Phi Alpha. His father was a very, very well-known socialite. And so if you think about the type of people, even HBCUs, if you really think about it, the fact that you had enough money to send your kids to Howard University or Cornell or to even help them out meant that you weren't poor. You weren't around the turn of the century. W.E.B. Du Bois going to college, subsequently becoming a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. The founders of Omega Psi Phi, Phi Beta Sigma, all of them, all in that span of 20-some-odd years, 30-some-odd years, they didn't just show up. They had to pay for college. And college was for the educated. And so I think it's great to look and see all of the classes and the caste system that was within the black community then and all the classes and the caste system that's within the black community now. Same people that was complaining about stuff with black people 120 years ago, 125 years ago, are the same people that are complaining today. Yep. Same one. your thoughts. 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. That experience is in Brookville at the Pella Experience Center, and it lets you see and compare dozens of windows and door options. And you can stop in this Thursday. That's July 10th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Everybody from Ben and Carrie to Dr. Ken, that's me, will be there from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. to see the hosts of 1017 The Truth, WTMJ, and ESPN. Kyle going to be over there too, y'all. Schedule your in-home consultation for your chance to win amazing prizes like Brewers tickets and giveaways from the season, a game-worn jersey, Badgers College game day tailgate, State Fair, Green Bay tickets, much, much more. Winners will be chosen every 2 hours. Don't miss your chance to also win $2,000 off of your minimum purchase of $5,000 when you hold your appointment before July 31st. You don't want to stop in? Just schedule an appointment. We can come to your house. You can call Pella or just go to PellaWI.com, PellaWI.com, on July 10th to be entered into the raffle. So the earlier you enter, the more chances you have to win throughout the day. Order by July 31st and you get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions apply. Go to PellaWI.com. You might find yourself some hot stuff. I don't know. See, back then, we wasn't like rap was today and all that, where they just tell it and you can't play it on the radio. You got to listen to it on streaming. You know, you want some hot stuff. Wasn't talking about hot sauce or Tabasco sauce. I'm just saying. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me talk about what the Kwanda say. Why can't he call it cute if you wearing something that says bougie? Because I'm in it. You want to call some girl cute? That's fine. Call it a hat. Oh, cute. Ew. Takes away my masculinity. I'm trying to be toxic up in here. Okay. All right. I'm just saying. Kwanda said, I mean, I get the black part and y'all both feel me on the bougie part. Dr. Harris trying to set his own trend, but you can't use bougie. Why can't I use bougie? Why is that? Holla at a brother. Why can't I use bougie? Tanya, that's his hat and that's no argument, not up for debate. So now he's Dr. Ken, black, bad, and bougie. Why y'all keep adding stuff to everything I say? Who got no rhythm? Me? Now, what did you ding? Like, I don't understand what the ding was for.
Bad, black, and bougie.
Wow. Was that like a New York pronunciation? Or?
It was.
Okay, that's what I thought. Y'all make everything hard. It's bougie, not bougie. You don't know? Okay, I'm buying Glenn a history book for Christmas. Clearly. Or I just buy a subscription to Max so you could watch The Gilded Age. So you could learn about us bougie folk, right? Oh, I'm just kidding. 833-212-1017 is the number. Well, so people keep not telling me, Kwanda, like, have an awesome night with your black bougie hat. Like, what's the deal? Like, why you have a... I wore the CUW shooting club hat. Nobody said a word. Like, nobody said a word. I would have thought half the audience would be like, oh, my God, you're mentioning a gun. I didn't say what kind of shooting. It might have been arrows. But people freak out. Oh, my God. But then I wear a black and bougie hat. You got the audacity to complain. Like, what is that? Oh, that's right. You hate any semblance of middle class. It's probably not that. You hate any semblance of anybody possibly having something you don't have. You hate people with cars because you don't have a car. You hate people with a job because you don't have a job. You hate people who live on a certain block because you don't live on that block. You hate certain people that have an education because you don't have the education. I remember the bashing I took. Why are you calling yourself a doctor? You're not a doctor. Well, it's now my fault you don't understand the difference in the title or what? Now, I have to correct people because this drives me crazy, even though it's okay. When people say, Dr. John Doe, MD, Dr. John Doe, PhD, you need one or the other. You don't need both. But for some reason, people have started doing that. I'm like, you know how redundant that is and how dumb it makes you look? Like, I don't know. But anyway. Oh, let me quit. There I go being bougie again.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017. I thought I'd have a throwback to the disco era, probably before some of y'all parents was even born, and and play some Donna Summer, one of my favorites. Yes, I like Donna Summer over Whitney Houston. Yes, I do. And if you disagree and you don't like it, too bad. So I'm on here picking on. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Kwanda is using the excuse that she was under the weather. So maybe something's changed since she's been there. I'm like, you ain't been there that long, that bougie. They're saying bougie. Bougie is reserved for feminine. I'm like, no. If women can do what men do and think and act, then men can too. That's one. Number two, really? I told a turnabout is fair play. So just think of me as a classic man. Let's do that. And then Tanya's like, heck no, Dr. Ken being difficult. And then Kwanda said, very difficult. But you see, he's only picking on little, poor, sick me. Because she's having a pity party. It's all good, Dr. Ken. No love lost. Yeah. To which I told her, yeah. Right. Whatever. 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 You and Tanya, you know where you could go? Home. Y'all tripping. I'm getting beat up by women today, dude. Like, what is that? Where are all the guys at? SC was like, hey, what's up? And then gone. Mal was like, hey, what's up? Like, they ran both of them off. They was like, beat it. Just like, I'm on YouTube chat, and that's what I'm doing. It's like, wow. Told me. And then said, have an awesome night with your black and bougie hat. Like, excuse, like, really? Oh. I feel some kind of way after that. Can I believe it? Oh, my God, I'm just so hurt. I'm so crushed. I'm so beat up. Hey, I got a question. How long ago did the Flint thing happen with the lead pipes? And the water, remember we had to send water? That was 10 years ago. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? They are now finally finishing up doing all of the lead pipe replacement. Think about that. They're finishing Flint, Michigan. Y'all can stop sending water. And the feds came in and said, you got to replace them. So there's no question about it. Remember that knucklehead in Michigan decided to reroute because it was cheaper and put water in, and then kids started getting sick and people started, and they had lead in the, yeah. Now, where they were going, it cleaned the water fine, but somebody thought they'd be cheap. How am I going to do that? We'll do this. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? People always trying to take the easy way out to save money and end up spending more later. Flint's crisis was set in motion in 2014 when a state-appointed emergency manager ended a contract with Detroit and switched to the Flint River to save money. The state didn't require treatment to prevent corrosion that caused lead to then leak into the water, and the high levels eventually were detected in drinking water and children's blood and outbreaks of Legionnaire's disease that killed a dozen people were also linked. Flint entered into a settlement requiring to replace all lead pipes and fix dug-up yards for free within 3 years. Think about that. Think about that. Makes no sense. The city didn't know how many homeowners opted out of lead pipe replacement or how many properties had been simply missed as contractors came and went. So where did the contractor before you start? I don't know. I didn't ask him. So you have a contract with somebody and you replaced them, but you didn't put in the first contract that at the end they had to give you a list of all the work completed so that you can then move it to the next person. Does that even make any sense? So they could have picked, you got to do 30 homes. They could have just picked 30 homes in the city, did 30 homes and rolled. And you have no idea. So you probably redid work that had already been done. Or they got like everybody else and got lazy and just stopped doing stuff. Somebody changed, people get laid off, people get moved, companies change, and nobody keeps an accurate record. So now, the judge, because you didn't keep accurate records, a judge ordered them to, you ready? Visually check thousands of properties that had been excavated to see whether or not they even had the piping. Which means they might have lied and said, oh, yeah, we put the piping in. And they didn't. Yards torn up by contractors sometimes set that way for months or years. People's lawns and driveways were covered. Grass seeds that workers applied never grew. Finally, this spring, nearly 3 years after, she bought bags of topsoil and seed to fix her own lawn. 3 years, not one blade of grass. Steep population loss left thousands of vacant homes that would require contractors to cap lead pipes where they're found. drinking water director at Michigan's Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. Is that what Milwaukee has to look forward to? Now officials are working from a list of more than 4,000 properties where there could be a lead line, sending letters and making in-person visits to homes if needed. Miller said he hopes the outreach will show that customer service is now a priority, but it will take time to rebuild trust. So how would I go about making sure my lead pipes are not lead pipes, but actually replaced? That's what I would want to know. Because I have a secret up my sleeve, and I've been dying to show the city something, but I don't know. Other cities and towns, like Milwaukee, start replacing their own lead pipes that are roughly 9 million in the U.S. I wonder if that's a business I should start, replacing lead pipes. It's only 9 million of them. I could do, like, I don't know, 50? Maybe 100 and retire completely. To replace the lines that connect the water main to the street to homes, workers usually must dig in the street and yard, enter the home. When residents trust local government, they're more willing to grant that access. We're only replacing up to the property line. We're not even replacing from the sidewalk to the house. You have to pay for that. That's how cheap Milwaukee is. You pay all this tax money, and this is the future. This is the future, what Milwaukee's going to look like, because nobody's talking about it. They just send notices around, hey, you got to check your lead pipes. We believe you have lead. You have no idea when I have lead pipes because you haven't come check them. Come check them. Come check them. Interesting. That's interesting. Where will we be in 10 years? How will the city look in 10 years? How will our children? Oh, children don't have to worry. We got lead paint in the school, and we got lead in the pipes at that rate. Let me see. Yep, that's it. We won't have any children.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
It's been one of them days. It's been great. It's a little rainy outside, but y'all got to be careful because it's supposed to rain and back and forth and back and forth. So you could sit outside for a minute, but that's not going to last long because you are going to end up wet. So make sure. It's about 66 degrees in the city of Milwaukee, and all that stuff is going to keep running back and forth and back and forth. It's so spread out on the radar. You know, it's not much you can do. Downtown, it's cooler. Outlying areas is 79 degrees. You're listening to Truth of the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tori Lowe shows up next. Want to say thank you to everybody in the chat. It was only like 5 people, so you know what I'm saying. Y'all be careful. Y'all pray for Kwanda. She's down in Florida having a little bit of a health issue, but we know God is able, so she'll be fine. I will see you in 22 hours. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate you. God bless. Take care.
Be quiet.
I'm out.